We've been looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22. Lord, as we get into your word, we pray that your word would get into us, transform us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself. It shall be for food to you and for them. Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him. So he did.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, listen, this is a section of scripture that I have taught to adults. I've taught it to children with pictures. A lot of folks in here doing children's ministry, like I've done for a lot of years, which you can tell. I would have pictures to show them the boat and how he was going to build it and all that stuff. But never before have I gone as deep as I have on a passage as we have in the past week at the community groups. I started studying this 2 weeks ago, and I can't believe the stuff I ran into. And it's not the factoids that I ran into. It was the applications that got me. So, you're sitting near somebody. You don't have to move. You can lean over for this one. Give a key application, which means what can I take from this today for my life right now? What application might you see? Just lean over toward the person you're near. Think for a minute. And then lean over and say, I saw this. And please share that. Okay, we have a couple minutes to do that. Okay, I'm going to ask you to quell the conversation. While you're doing the quelling of the conversation, listen up. If you want to bring a family here with little kids, we now have child care in the back apartment that's taking place. I was kind of hoping to see Mason and Ben running around here. I guess I'll have to wait till you come to my house to do that. But if you've got somebody who's got some smaller children, you're worried about, not as small as these guys. No, you don't get out that easy. No, you can't go back and play with the toys. But back in the apartment, there will be child care, specifically during this time. Just put that in the back of your mind if you're inviting somebody that is taking care of. Okay, what did you hear? Oh, I'm supposed to announce that there's bathrooms. There are bathrooms here. Thanks, Amanda, wherever you went. There you are. There are bathrooms in the home, but listen to where they are. You might not be aware of this. There's one right here on the left side of this short hallway. There's another one up the stairs that we have access to that you're allowed to go to. So just go up the only stairs that are here, and you can go up to that one. Also, you can go back in the apartment. There's a bathroom. So if you have need for facilities, feel free to do that. And typically, thank you to Brian and Patty, there is a bucket of water up here, bottled water, what do you call it, a cooler. And so you can come get that. Thank you guys for doing that every week faithfully. I appreciate it. Okay, what did you hear? There's a lot of applications in here. You wouldn't think that there are, but if somebody could raise their hand and start me going here, tell me an application that was in here that's pretty neat. Ed?
It was a chance for a clean slate to start over.
Okay, a chance for a clean slate. We're not going to, no comment, just say, because that's good. Chance for a clean slate of a redo, a start, a reboot. Turn the power off, turn it back on. Everybody knows that. Okay, another one. Here we go. Hand up, share. I will pick on you. I say that, but I don't mean it. Yeah, Mildred, good luck.
God is faithful.
God is faithful. You see that over and over in Scripture, don't you? Okay, not going to belabor or preach on it. Go ahead. Another one you should see is you should be flowing out of your mouth right now. Yes, Florence.
God was so grieved and hurt.
Yeah. God was grieved and hurt over sin. He regretted making man. Yeah, we could spend the next 2 hours talking that one out. Okay, another application that you saw in here. Out of here, good and loud.
You can
that's great. You can trust God even when the plan seems crazy. The way you said that. That was fantastic. And the plan is out there, isn't it? Okay, thank you. Another one. Here we go. Stephen, what were you raising your hand for?
37. He was obedient, even though he
was servant of God. Noah was obedient. I got to tell you, if you were with me at that point in time, I would have said, oh, God, I just got three big questions. Nothing. It just goes on. Okay, come on. What else you see? Applications for me. Applications for me. Jenny?
A covenant.
A covenant. God has a covenant. Covenant means agreement. Philip?
Noah was righteous and obedient to God, and he was rewarded for that.
Okay, Noah was rewarded by God for his righteousness, holiness, obedience. That has application to me. Sure does. Alrighty, come on. Somebody else got something here? Application. Stephen?
There's consequences for disobedience.
Ooh. There are consequences for disobedience. A theme throughout the Scripture. Hope you see it. Okay, let me dive in here with you for a little bit. I want you to see a few things in here. And you guys already said Noah's obedience was amazing. The no questions asked on Noah's part, he's got a gear that I don't have. Because in that situation, I would have been like, you're going to what? You're going to destroy everything that I know? You're going to do that? I have a couple of questions. First one would be, are you going to do me too? And then he finds out, of course, not him. You know, if you go back a little bit in this chapter to verse 3, you'll see that God gives 120 years until the judgment comes. And a lot of commentators would say the 120 years were needed for one man and at least a very small crew to build this ark, which is bigger than an ocean liner. But you know what? Peter records that during that time, Noah continued to preach about God. Obviously, it wasn't accepted, almost as if God was giving a little bit more time for them to hear the message. And obviously, you know that they didn't. Let me make some observations for you that hopefully you've seen, and that's this. It's worth noting the fact that Noah believed God. It's worth noting the fact that Noah followed God. It's worth noting the fact that Noah followed God in a culture and a time where, here's the phrase, everybody's doing it. Mom and Dad, everybody's going. Mom and Dad, everybody does that. We've used that since we were 12 years old with our parents. And here was truly the case where Noah could say, Everybody's doing it, and they look kind of happy, and they look kind of satisfied, so I'm going to do it too. Noah doesn't do that. He believes God. Even though there's complete lawlessness going on and violence in verse 11, he goes and maintains the obedience and the faithfulness to God. That's something to note when a character in Scripture can stand up against that kind of pressure. Second thing I want you to see is very simple. See, you guys brought this up already. It's a good reminder for me to know that God punishes sin. And to actually know that God is grieved and he's hurt by sin. Because there are times, not that it makes me stay in fear not to sin, so I don't get punished, though the Scripture teaches I will be disciplined. But it's also got this aspect to it, and you can talk this way. It looks like they're getting away with murder out there. It looks like all their thieving today, not then. All their thieving, all their canine, all their lying, all of the things that they are doing that do not belong to God, it looks like, I'm going to say this to you, it looks sometimes like they are happier than us. Sometimes it looks like they've got a bigger smile. Sometimes it looks like they're making more money. Sometimes it looks like their life is more satisfying than mine. And I have to keep in mind that God punishes sin. And this lifetime is only this long. And then eternity. And I've got to keep eternity in mind. The third thing I wanted to bring up today, and it's very simple. Did anybody read the email from me on Friday night? Did you read the email from me on Friday? Okay, three of us read it. Okay. Did you color the pictures and all the lessons that came with it? Good. I made a statement in there that this text in Scripture proves that God is not a liar. And that has got to be the craziest way to look at this Scripture. Let me go on with you here. You're going to talk to each other. We're going to get back to this. Listen very carefully. Noah's father, according to the previous chapters, was a guy named Lamech. L-A-M-E-C-H. Lamech was Adam's son. If you do the math, Lamech was 56 years old when Adam died. That means he knew his daddy, Adam, for 56 years. Now you tell me right now, what kind of stories do you think Noah's dad, Lamech, got from Adam? What do you think got talked about at family picnics and barbecues? What do you think came out as far as common conversation? And hold it! If I put you in a room, and you had, say, 50 years with Adam, what kind of questions would you be asking him? And what do you think he would think was so important that he would download it to you, especially one of his kids? And they didn't have cable and video games or any of that stuff. So it means in the evening they sat and they talked. Just had a little fun. Can you think with me out loud for a minute? What do you think Adam told Lamech? What do you think he told Noah's dad? What do you think he shared with him? Raise your hand, yell it out, I want to hear it. What in the world would he share that would have been so important? Philip.
I'm sure he said, when God tells you not to do something, don't do it.
When God tells you not to do something, don't do it. Very good. Lesson learned. If you don't believe me, go talk to your mom. She'll tell you. Okay. What else would Adam have told his son? Oh, that's it? You don't think he would have shared with him about what the garden was like?
Yeah.
Which didn't exist right here? You don't think he would have shared with him how the whole event of the fall took place? And how, Mom, she was deceived, but I knew what I was doing. And I walked right into it. You don't think that Adam shared with his boy the fact that after he fell, they got booted out of the garden, and that's why we have to work so hard. That's exactly why we work so hard to raise cattle and hold it and grain, and that's why we have to build a house, and it's hard to do. You get it? You don't think that would have been shared?
I don't.
Okay. What else would Adam maybe have shared? Adam maybe would have shared, listen, we grieved God. We had this relationship with God where every day in the garden we walked with each other. Now hold it just a second. Stop the presses. Dad, You mean to tell me Grandpa used to walk with God himself in the garden? And they used to talk? And this went on all the time? And Adam would say, yeah. And it doesn't happen anymore because we sinned. Can you imagine the amount of things that got told about, including this? There's a being in the universe whose name is Satan. And we listen to him instead of listening to God. And he still works against our people. Look around. Lawlessness and violence. He still works against the things of God. Noah would have had a whole cache of this stuff in his head. Right? And I guarantee you, and here if you're listening, as to how God is not a liar, I guarantee you that when they talked about Eve falling, Adam would have shared this. And God made a declaration and a promise at that time. And he said that her seed, our seed, would one day come and crush Satan's head. That's back the first mention really of Jesus Christ in the scriptures. And it was made to Adam and Eve. But yet I read this, and God is like this. God is just really righteously mad. He's allowed to do that. And the things that I made and all this stuff, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to do a redo. Everybody's dead. Everybody's going to hell. Everybody. I'm going to punish them all. And when God gets to that point, then he notices that Noah, he found favor with. Because Noah stood out as the one righteous and faithful man. And now here it is. Here's why God's not a liar. If God had done what he really looked like he intended to do, and that was destroy everything because we had sinned, and do a complete redo and start over again, which God had a right to do that, if he had done that, he would have been a liar. But instead, you read, Bob read it in verse 18, God then pointed to Noah and said, but my covenant's with you. My covenant, my agreement that I made with your grandma is now on you. And I will hold to my word. And it will get you all the way through that Jesus is coming through you. Wow. That's called having the mantle put upon you. That Jesus would come through the line of Noah. And you know why this encourages me with the greatest personal application ever? I don't know about you. But I'm just not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the smartest person in the room ever. Everybody knows that, correct? Good, thanks for affirming me. I like that. But here's the truth. I am one who is totally dependent upon the Word of God. I am going by the fact that when the Scripture says that if I come to believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior and trust Him, that I am going to have eternal life. I trust God's word about the fact that eternal life will be protected by Him forever. I trust the fact that by His word I know His Holy Spirit has taken up residence in me. I trust what God has said there and in so many other places. And all the way back here, God is proving, Mike, I'm not a liar. I'm a man, I'm a God of my word. I keep my word no matter what. And I'm going to keep my word to Noah, I did. And all the generations that followed, I did. And Mike, I'm going to keep my word to you. Wow. We leave here today with the incredible impression that God is not a liar. We leave here with the impression that God keeps His word to me. Let's go outside. Start my car. Begin fellowship week, and all the stuff that's coming up that I don't want to deal with, and stuff I didn't see coming. I know He keeps His word to me, right down to the smallest detail. That's the God that I trust. That's the God that strategically places me this week, that I might speak His word and live His word to others. We put such a premium on this fellowship week, but I've asked Steve Cook to come. If you don't know Steve, you've got to get to know Steve. A quality guy that walks around here, a little bit quieter than me and a lot of you others. But I'll tell you something. He's a guy that walks with God, and I treat this time so seriously that we would close our study time together and our worship time together by having one of the trusted individuals from our body lead us in a prayer of commission and a prayer of commitment to how, when we all scatter in a couple of minutes, how in the world is God going to use you and me this next week? So, Stephen, what that is on for?
Being an introvert is difficult sometimes to do this fellowship week and to think of things to do. But one is, if you talk in that group, one is just to start praying. You know, God, who is it in my heart right now? And that's happened with me. A lot of times I'll pray and God will say, hey, this is somebody you need to get with. It's difficult, not easy. So one is, we're going to start today by just praying. And obviously, you heard some great things about the fellowship week or people you want to pray for. People you want to sort of contact. Could be just a text, it could be a phone call to start, maybe it's baby steps in the beginning before actually maybe going somewhere and have coffee or having them over to your house. It might be something very simple as just a phone call. Maybe somebody in this group you have a heart for that just needs to, you know, you want to encourage them during this fellowship meeting. So there's a lot of things you can do, but God's going to lay that on your heart if you begin just sort of spending time, beginning of your week, say, God, who is it that I need to be in contact with? Let's pray together for this week that God would sort of reveal those people to us. Father God, we just thank you for this time together, for your word and how it challenges us. We think of Noah, how he found favor with you, as he was walking with you. And obviously, it's just a wonderful thought of him hearing the stories of his grandfather, walking with God. So, Father, we pray we will walk with you this week. We will pray to you and ask that you would open our hearts to people around us, Father, who need to know who you are. Who are lost. They may look like they have everything to go going the same way and Noah's dead. And everything looks great, wonderful, having fun. But Lord, they're lost. And they need you. And Lord, help us to love them. Even though a lot of times it's very difficult because it's just going to be their lifestyle, the direction they're going. But Lord, help us to be faithful to you. And reach out to those around us who could be hurting we don't even know about, Lord. Put those people on our heart this week. Help us as we go out, Lord, to be, again, salt and light. In Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.